To go. All right, welcome everyone to the CSLF meeting. Please bear with me as I read a script. In accordance with state law regarding public meetings held via electronic equipment, this meeting will be recorded and the recording will be posted on the authority's website. We will start with a roll call of individuals. And let me get that. Peter Lisi, obviously I'm present. Batita Brown-Eyes. Is Batita present?
Oh, I'm sorry. Here.
You are mute. Okay.
Because I'm mute.
Yeah. Marty Budd.
Here.
Thank you. Andrew Foster.
Here.
Thank you. Mike Lozati.
Here.
Thank you. Carrie Kelly.
Here.
Thank you. Julie Savino.
Present.
Thank you. Laura Baker, representing Kelly Marie Valliers.
Present.
Thank you. And Jeanette Weldon.
Present.
Thank you. Individuals are asked to state their name and title before speaking during the meeting. Votes will be taken by roll call unless the vote is unanimous. And in the event the meeting is interrupted due to technical difficulties, members and staff will receive a text or email advising whether number one, the meeting is adjourned or canceled, or number two, the time the meeting will resume. So with that, we can move into our agenda. Meeting's been called to order. First item, board business is the approval of our September 21st minutes. And similar to previous meetings, I'm hoping people have taken a few minutes to review the minutes. Is there a motion to accept the minutes as presented from our September 21st meeting?
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Andrew, I'll second. And Peter, I also like to point out that even though I was present, I was just missing from the roster.
Okay. So it's been made, the motion has been made and seconded to accept the minutes. Under discussion, it would be Andrew Foster's name needs to be added to the attendees. Are there any other questions or comments, corrections need to be made to the minutes? Anything? All right, hearing none, all those in favor of adopting the minutes with one correction of adding Andrew Foster to the attendees, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions?
This is Julie. I'll abstain. I wasn't present.
All right. Thank you, Julie. One abstention. All right. Motion carries. Thank you. The next item is just for the record to state that the CHESLA board members did receive the annual ethics training from the folks in the Office of State Ethics. Denise, is there anything else that needs to be stated for the record that it was presented and we all attended?
No, that's it. Thanks, Peter.
Okay. For the record, thank you. Jeanette, Executive Director's report?
Yes, I wanted to turn to Justin Schwartz, who is with GOAL, our portfolio manager for the CSLF portfolio, and ask him to speak to a bond redemption that occurred that caused us to go below the 2% board reserve policy. So Justin, if you want to speak to that.
Sure. So Justin Schwartz, financial reporting manager at GOAL Solutions. So the funds management policy of the board outlines a minimum cash reserve amount of 2% of the bonds. And it essentially says that cash amounts below that 2% reserve cannot be used for discretionary bond redemptions. So regarding bond redemptions, we make recommendations to CSLF for the amount of bonds to be redeemed each month. Regarding specifically the redemption that occurred on September the 29th, we made an error in our calculation, which resulted in us making a redemption that was larger than it should have been. So as a result of that, on September 29th, the 2% cash requirement was approximately $1.4 million. And because the redemption was larger than it should have been, the cash reserves in the trust dipped to approximately $1 million. So the trust would have been out of compliance with the board's funds management policy for about 12 days from September 29th to October the 10th. Regarding the error itself, upon discovering the error, we alerted Jeanette's team. There was then a follow-up Zoom call with Jeanette's team where we walked them through what happened, why it happened, and the steps that we have since taken to ensure that type of error won't happen again. So that essentially summarizes the incident. Are there any questions I can address?
This is Tim Webb. If I may, Hilltop Security Senior Vice President, just want to make sure that everyone understands that we did not breach any covenants within the bond documents. Bonds were redeemed. Nothing occurred. No debt service payments were missed. What this was an error resulting in the board stipulated minimum amount of cash that's held in the trust. It came right back up as loan receipts come back in, but nothing was jeopardized with regard to the security or payment on the debt.
And as Justin mentioned, we pulled our group together and had a conference call to go over, you know, how the error occurred. We're all comfortable that the process has been corrected so that it won't happen again. And so I think we're all good with moving forward.
So you conclude. Any other
questions about that?
No harm, but a foul.
Right. That's one way to look at it. Yes, Marty.
Okay.
So that is it for the executive director's report.
All right. Any questions for Jeanette or Justin on this? Okay. Thank you. All right. Tim, you going to review the trust cash flow for us? You're on mute, Tim.
You're still on mute.
Yes, I had to find my mute button, and I am now off mute. Jeanette asked me to run some cash flows on the 2006 trust. It had been not a long time. I think we ran some cash flows at the end of last year with 1231 balances for the portfolio and for the balance sheet. But we decided to rerun these cash flows using more current data as of 6/30/23 to take a look at to the extent that the trust could release cash over and above what is currently contemplated with regard to the scholarship. If you recall, the scholarship monies that are being released from CSLF's trust are $500,000 annually. It goes over to CHESLA and they use that for the scholarship program. Just to be conservative, take a look at this. You know, could we release an additional $500,000 over to CHESLA for either loan programs or for potentially providing additional equity into new issuance of CHESLA in school / refinance bonds? So the goal here was to run a cash flow with updated information coming from the servicers. This is the first time we've had data from FIA, who's your new FFELP servicer, and to see, you know, what can the trust hold. So with regard to this kind of analysis, what I did for the purpose of stressing the cash flows was to restrict the liquidity. And by that, I mean, you know, reducing the amount of loan receipts that would come in off of the FFELP portfolio, which is the driving factor of the trust estate. So that means reducing the amount of defaults. If you recall, FFELP loans are guaranteed anywhere from 100 cents on the dollar to 97 cents on the dollar in the event of a default. We reduced the defaults to effectively zero, as if there are no defaults at all coming in. We reduced prepayment speeds to zero as well, and increased deferment forbearance and what we refer to as IBR, income-based repayment. So with regard to those assumptions, that would stress the liquidity, having enough funds in the trust estate to pay the bonds at maturity, which for this case, the senior bonds are due June 1, 2046, as is the subordinate bond. So this first slide just gives you a snapshot of where we are today. We've got roughly $76 million worth of bonds outstanding. split between 56 of seniors and roughly 20 million of subordinates, $86.5 million of outstanding loans, the majority of those being the FFELP loans or the Federal Family Education Loan Program guaranteed student loans. And we've got pretty significant collateral ratio. If we could go to the next slide, please. So reminding you of the structure, these bonds were sold. Yes, sir. For
Marty, but
yep.
I what are the parity requirements for the senior and total? I thought that we have board requirements in addition to the indenture requirements.
Yes, we do. And maybe Denise can confirm that. But the bond documents, I believe, are 102.5. For the senior bonds and 105 for all bonds. I think that we've got a board stipulated 104 for all, but we're way and above whatever those requirements, those specific requirements are.
What did you say the senior were? 102.5,
and all bonds are 105. I believe that's on the screen, Marty, if you have access to the computer. Right. You can see what the collateral release levels are. You could theoretically release at these levels everything over and above the 102 on the seniors and or on the total and 105 on the seniors.
Oh, yeah, I see. Collateral release. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And I believe it's 104 as the board stipulated that we would not release unless we were above 104. We're significantly above those levels.
Yeah, I see.
But if you recall, these bonds were issued as auction rate securities. The auction rate market disappeared years ago with the financial crisis. In the failed auction rate mode, the bonds are priced at 120 basis points over the 91-day bill with a spot cap of LIBOR plus 150. As long as the bonds stay highly rated, we did have something that occurred over the weekend, which is that Moody's has put the U.S. Sovereign rating on credit watch negative. I don't believe that that has an impact on these bonds. I don't know that I would defer to disclosure counsel with regard to disclosing that, but I don't believe there would be any kind of need for disclosure because nothing has occurred. So the bonds continue to be rated.
Tim, one other question. You said LIBOR plus. Is the indenture still using LIBOR? I don't know of any other organization that is still using LIBOR.
This is the spot cap is LIBOR plus 150. I believe, Denise, did we go and make that change to SOFR? Marty, I'll double check.
Yeah, I don't think we made any modifications to move it to SOFR. So I think... Yeah, we've just been operating with the 91-day T-bill plus 120.
Yeah, right now we're in good shape, Marty. It is LIBOR plus 120. That is what the calculation is.
Thank you.
Okay, next slide, please. Okay, these are the expenses that are currently in the trust estate. We've got a trustee spent expense of 7 basis points on the outstanding bonds. The administrator receives a fee of $100,000 annually for administering the entire trust. There are some associated auction rate fees that total 6 basis points. And then we have the $500,000 that's annually pulled out of the trust for the scholarship. So in this case, the cash flows were run to put in an additional $500,000 that we pulled out annually. Based on the assumptions used in the cash flows, and obviously those are assumptions, the trust can afford to pay out $500,000 annually for the next 6 years, in addition to the scholarship funds, for a total of $3 million and make debt service payments when due, which would be 6/146. I mean, they're obviously going to make debt service payments on the run, interest payments, but making the final maturity payment in whole on 6/146. Again, I'll stress that the cash flows were liquidity runs where we have no defaults, no prepayments, and very long periods of income-based repayment, and that would allow us to release those funds. And that is kind of the quick and dirty analysis of the cash flows. open for questions.
Thank you, Tim. Are there questions for Tim?
Yeah. I noticed at the end of your report, you said you should do these calculations every year. And two, I would recommend the board not count on this. When you make assumptions going out more than 20 years, that's not something I would bet on, no matter how conservative the assumptions are. So maybe every time we want to take out another $500,000 in addition to the scholarship, we ought to, as you suggest, redo this annually.
I agree completely with you, Marty. I make that statement in the memo that I provided to the board, that these cash flows should be run annually. Things can change quickly. As we know, over the past couple of years, there have been discussions of forgiveness by the Biden administration of FFELP loans. There could be consolidation of the FFELP loans into direct loans. Your portfolio could run off significantly faster than what's being run in these cash flows. But I will stress that if the cash flows, the portfolio does run off in the form of forgiveness, or you have higher defaults due to the fact that those loans are guaranteed by the federal government, that's additional cash that comes in. You would be paying down those bonds more quickly, and you should have no problem with liquidity. But we don't know what's going to occur in the future. We don't know where interest rates are going to run. It's my suggestion and advice as your financial advisor to run these cash flows at least annually. And that's all I have, Peter.
Thank you. Sandra, were you, Sandy, you were trying to make a comment. You were on mute.
No, I wasn't. I had to leave and I just rejoined.
Okay.
Sorry about
Thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Any further questions for Tim? Anyone? All right. Thank you, Tim, for the report.
You're welcome.
All right, Joanne, financial report, please.
All right, thank you. I want to apologize, first of all, for not including any financials for September for CSLF. Kevin has been out on leave since September, so the rest of the accounting team and I are kind of pulling together to get all those tasks done. I am almost done, and I will send them out. I should be done Friday, so I'll send them out in an email, and I'll make sure to include any highlights that I would have reported here today. Sorry, okay. Again.
All right, understood. Any questions? All right. Thank you, Joanne. Justin, bond redemption activity?
Sure. Just briefly summarizing the activity during the quarter, there were a total of 6.85 million of bonds redeemed compared with last quarter's total of 2.5 million. Broken down with 3.8 million on the 2006 A1 tranche and 3.05 million on the 2006 A2 tranche. And the quarter's activity resulted in a total bond outstanding balance of approximately 69 million, which represents a 9% decline from the prior quarter. Then moving to page 84, looking at some of the characteristics, the weighted average coupon increased 39 basis points from 6.75 to 7.14%. And the weighted average remaining term increased from 207.52 months to 213.85 months. And looking at loans in forbearance and repayment, forbearances increased slightly from 10.13 to 10.52%. And repayments decreased slightly, moving from 87.19% to 86.39% of the portfolio. And that's really all I've got.
All right. Appreciate it. Any questions for Justin? Anything? All right, Justin, thank you very much. Last item of business on the agenda is the adoption of our meeting schedule for 2024. I think you'll notice these dates are same as the Chesla dates, but it is important to get them in the record, make everyone aware. Is there a motion to adopt the meeting schedule as presented in your meeting packet?
Julie Savino, so moved.
Thank you, Julie. Someone like to second it?
Bettina, I'll second.
Thank you, Bettina. Okay, the motion's been made and seconded to adopt the meeting schedule as presented in the board packet. I believe you see it on your screen in front of you. Are there any questions or comments?
One question. I see the, or actually two, I see the strategic planning session is not included. I know the Chesla board members are the same as the CSLF, but do we not include a strategic plan for CSLF, Jeanette, or how do you foresee that?
Right. So we don't specifically include CSLF in strategic planning because it's a portfolio in runoff, and the main thing it does, other than, you know, pay down its bonds, is provide some of these additional funds to Chesla for specific purposes. So I think that aspect would be captured through the Chesla board. And so that's why the CSLF board is not explicitly included in the strategic planning session.
You know, the second thing is the times we put down here are not actually the times that we meet. It really is dependent on when the Chesla board meeting is over. So it's conceivable, for instance, if we don't change the March meeting, I could make the 2 p.m. if, in fact, it's more likely to be 2:30 or 3, because we usually take more than an hour for the board. Is what I just said correct?
Yes, that's generally correct. We actually set the CSLF meeting times to be sooner than we think we will actually be entering the meeting based on when Chesla ends. But that's right, because just from a notice perspective, you know, noticing the public the time of the meeting, we can start a meeting late, but we can't start a meeting early. So just to avoid any situation where board members are waiting 15 or 20 minutes because CSLF can't start until 2:30, we just started early. And then when we finish one, we can move right into the next meeting.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments, discussion? All right, hearing none, the motion has been made and seconded to adopt the meeting schedule as presented in the board packet. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries. Please mark your calendar accordingly. And is there any other new business anyone would like to bring forward? Any other business for the group? All right. Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Julie. Thank you, Julie. Is there a second?
Second, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. All those in favor of adjournment, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you all very much. We are adjourned.